God, our Father in heaven, we are humbled, Lord, that thou hast given unto us such great blessings in our lives. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, for all things that thou hast given unto us. And they are manifold, they are many. Father, they are varied. They are physical in nature, they are spiritual in nature. And we have thee to thank for it. And so we just pray thee, Lord, now that as we are assembled here in thy house and have thy word before us, Father, that thou wouldst grant unto us the grace to redeem this time and use it for thine honor and to thy glory, that we would meditate upon thy word, and that we would desire to be moved by thy word and let thy word guide us in this living way that thou hast provided for us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read chapter number 19, the first 37 verses. Gospel of John 19, first 37 verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was woven, was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vestures they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again, another scripture saith, "They shall look upon him whom they pierced." May God bless the reading of his word. And Jesus Christ here hath fulfilled all things. And we read here this evening in verse number 28 that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." He knew that all things were accomplished. He came to accomplish the will of his Father. He came to fulfill all things, and he has completed all things. And so we look to the scriptures and we see that this is true, and that he has come and he has fulfilled all things, and all things were now accomplished in that what he has done here through the crucifixion. When we consider the life of Jesus and all that transpired in that time that he was here upon this earth, roughly 33 years, that the way in the manner that he came and the way that he was born and how the angel came and proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that was a great thing that happened even there at that time. And then he went on and he sat with the doctors of the law there when he was only 12 years old at the temple. And all these things that Jesus Christ has done in his life. And then we think of the miracles of how he had turned the water into wine, all the way to the time then when he fixed Malchus's ear after Peter had cut it off with a sword, roughly being the first miracle and his last miracle that he had done, and all the miracles that he had done in between. And we think of all these things and we think that truly, yes, Jesus Christ has fulfilled all things. He has accomplished the will of his Father. He did all these good things in the time that he was here upon this earth. And then he went on to teach. And he began his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he spoke that Sermon on the Mount. And the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. And it was wonderful teaching of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. They acknowledged it. They heard it, and they knew that it was good. And even that teaching continued on even until this very time that we read here as he's being convicted, that he's speaking here to Pilate, and he's speaking that Pilate could have no power at all except it were given him from above. That was a teaching moment that Pilate needed to know. And then also he continues on and says, "Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." There was a greater sin that the people were committing in delivering Jesus to Pilate to be crucified. These Jews, in their contorted thinking, thought that, well, they don't want to go into the judgment hall, because if they go into the judgment hall, then they would be defiled, they would be unclean, and they wouldn't be able to keep the Passover on that next day. And so they weren't going to go into the judgment hall so that they could stay away from that sin, but they wanted to crucify the Son of God. And so Jesus here was teaching Pilate, and he's saying, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath that greater sin. So Jesus Christ did all these things while he was here upon this earth. He did many miracles. He taught, and it was very clear that God was with him through the miracles that he did. And he fulfilled all things that were given unto him to do. The Bible says that those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. All that the prophets ever spoke about from the very beginning, as they were speaking of this way of salvation and this plan that we could be brought back to God, that we can be reconciled with him once again, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ as he would suffer. Jesus told the people there, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but I am come to fulfill. Jesus Christ came to fulfill that law, to fulfill the prophecies that were given of old, as God sent them to him, to the people. And so we see in through the Word of God that it is clear that Jesus Christ was for to come, and he was to bring forth this plan of salvation and to fulfill it all. We can see that through the Scriptures. The Scriptures point to Christ. But Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? Who will believe these things? So I'm reminded now that in your pew Bible that you have there are black stars next to many of the verses. The black stars mean that that's a fulfillment of the Scripture. So if you go to the Old Testament, you'll see a white star there, and that's a prophecy that's given. And so in the Old Testament, the prophecies are given. In the New Testament, the prophecies are fulfilled. And so Isaiah there in 53 speaks, who hath believed our report? And over and over in that chapter, it speaks of Jesus Christ and his coming and what would happen to him. And the Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. We are saved by this gospel, but we are saved by this report that has been given unto us, by this fulfillment of Jesus Christ. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What the Apostle Paul has received, he is giving it unto them. And he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We read of how Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that was fulfilled by the Scriptures. And so let's read this chapter. We won't go through every verse. Certainly the time doesn't allow for that. But let's keep in mind that Christ has come to fulfill. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and that the Scriptures were fulfilled, he says these things. So Pilate here is in a predicament. He wants to let Jesus go, but the people are insistent, and they want him to be crucified. And the people don't want to come into the judgment hall, and Jesus is in the judgment hall, so Pilate has to go back and forth from the judgment hall to Jesus, then to the Jews that were outside of the judgment hall. And he's going back and forth. And he believes Jesus, and he wants to understand what is truth. And then he goes outside, and he listens to this mad throng. And he says to them, hail, King of the Jews. But he wasn't an earthly king. He didn't come here to have a political kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom goes on forever and forever in righteousness and in holiness. And so, going down to verse number 12, it says, "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him." It was Pilate's desire just to release Jesus. They were allowed one person to be released to them, the Jews, from the Roman government, and Pilate wanted it to be Barabbas, but Pilate wanted it to be Jesus, but the people wanted it to be Barabbas that would be crucify him. Pilate had to give Christ over to them. And he says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they say, "We have no king but Caesar." And we know that they didn't have much appreciation for the Roman government. And again, that was a lie that they spoke there, but they were more concerned about not going into the judgment hall to defile themselves. It says here also, then they delivered him, therefore, to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And when I read that verse, I just often think of how these powerless people, they thought they had power, but they were powerless. They didn't have power. And they're leading away one that they could control Jesus. I often think of it as a little weak child trying to control a mighty man, a very strong man. And that's what these people were doing. They were trying to lead him away. But they weren't leading him away. He gave himself for them, for the people. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for them. And the same way is here, that they didn't take him. He led himself to the cross. And no man was taking his life, but he gave it of himself. Then further on, it says that they come to Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. This was another fulfillment of Scripture, that he would be crucified with malefactors, with thieves. And I just so much appreciate how the gospel writers didn't dramatize when the crucifixion happened. It's almost possible just to almost skip it or not see that he was actually really crucified, how little wording is given to this that came about when Jesus fulfilled all things. It says they crucified him, and Jesus was in the midst. He gave his life, and he fulfilled all things, and we rejoice in this. This was his hour of glory. And though it cost him everything, it was free to us. And it is our hour of glory too. And we rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for us in dying there upon that cross, in giving of himself, in his great, great love that he had for us and for all mankind. Jesus gave himself for us. And because he gave himself for us, those in the heavens, they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy, the Lord Jesus, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Jesus is so worthy because he redeemed us. He brought us back to the Father. He restored that relationship that we can have with our Father that was destroyed there in the Garden of Eden. He was slain, but he redeemed us to God by his blood. And that was for all people. And then further on, it says that that Pilate put that saying above him on that cross, that Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And again, that's another fulfillment of the scriptures. And we could just see in the gospels over and over. And this happened because it fulfilled the scriptures. So he was raised in Nazareth so that he could be called a Nazarene to fulfill that scripture. And so here it was that Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Jesus fulfilled all things and accomplished all things. Then it comes to the time with Jesus' clothing, and they took it apart, and one soldier each got a piece of that clothing, but there was a robe that didn't have any seams in it, and it was woven from the top all the way down through. And they thought that they came up with a good idea. Hey, let's not tear this apart, but let's cast lots for it, whose it shall be. And it says there, these things therefore the soldiers did. They thought they had a good idea. They were simply just fulfilling the scriptures. The scriptures said that this would happen. And so it did. And that phrase there, that the scripture might be fulfilled, is found three times in this chapter and many, many times throughout the Gospels. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus knew that all things were now accomplished and the scriptures were fulfilled, and he says, I thirst. And so he was given this vessel of full of vinegar, and when he had received the vinegar, he says, it is finished. It is finished. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. No, he said, it is finished. His work that was given to him to do was finished. And so he made that declaration. It is finished. The work that he was given to do was now finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so it was here that they wanted the legs to be broken. The Jews wanted the legs to be broken, and the soldiers did that to the two thieves. And it says, but when they saw that Jesus was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Such a beautiful plan of salvation that Jesus fulfilled, that God made to be prophesied and come to pass. These wonderful things, all the small details and the overarching plan was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it says, and again, another scripture saith that they shall look upon him whom they pierced. The wonderful plan of salvation, it was fulfilled. It was prophesied. It was accomplished. It was completed. And in him we are complete likewise. Because we have faith in him. Because we believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And by his blood we are redeemed back to him. The disciples were wondering one time and asked him, did any man give you to eat? And Jesus' response to them was, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is what Jesus Christ came to do the will of his Father and to finish his work. That was what he came here to do, and he accomplished it and left nothing undone. Jesus, as he was praying to the Father, also prayed and said, I have glorified thee on this earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished that work. So what was that work that Jesus Christ did? What was it that he accomplished there upon the cross? What was it that he accomplished with that life that he gave from the time when the angels made that declaration, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, to the time when he said, "It is finished." What was that work? What was it all to do, and what was it to bring about? Isn't it that we can be reconciled with the Father? Isn't it so that Jesus Christ could restore that which was broken in the Garden of Eden? And how that sin, when it separated us from God, was paid for in full by Jesus Christ, that we could be redeemed, that we could be reconciled, that we could be made right again and have a good and proper relationship with our Father, and that we might then have that hope of salvation? This was the work of Jesus Christ. This is what he completed here upon this earth. He reconciled us back to God, that we might have that good and that right relationship that God desired, that God desires for all his creation. For God desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that message, who will believe this report? Who will believe these things that are written here in God's word? That Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. That through faith in his name, that we can have life. May God grant unto each and every one of us that we would have that faith, an abiding faith, that we would believe that which Jesus Christ has done, he hath fulfilled the scriptures, and that he would reconcile us to our Maker. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.